Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
I want to share with you this morning, first of all, how thankful I am that God is leading us down this pathway. I certainly believe that it is indeed God's will, and I believe that we will do more for the kingdom of God together than would have been able to do separately. So I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for the opportunity to work alongside Pastor Mike and Pastor Aaron. Pastor Aaron, our associate pastor, he hasn't been before you yet, but stand up, Pastor. Is this going to be okay? Huh? Nope. All right, well, you know, it's my heart for us now to get rid of this microphone and get one that's not a distraction. Okay. Austin Powell.
You got me, Gary. I almost fell off the stage here.
That would have been terrible. All right. Much better. You know, my heart for us, both now and in the days ahead, is this. That we as a church family, and that's what we are now, that we would walk in a deep, sacrificial love for one another. So deep, in fact, that we willingly and joyfully serve one another in whatever way is needed. You know, that's the body of Christ. I want to pray before we dive into the scriptures this morning. And I want to pray a prayer that expresses my desire. Father, my hope and my desire is that you will continue to work in us, that we would love one another willingly, joyfully, and sacrificially. I know, Lord, that it's only by your Spirit that we can do this. In our flesh, we're selfish, we're greedy, we think more about ourselves than we do others, Lord. So change our hearts. Make us new people. Make this place a place where your love is fully expressed. And we'll give you glory and praise now and forever. Amen. Well, you know, since the inception of the church, there has been one major litmus test that has been used to identify followers of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, we hear these words. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other.
And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and I add, and more and more and more. You know, love's kind of like bacon on a cheeseburger. Can't be too much. There can't be too much love in the church. For in an atmosphere of love, God operates. See, it's up to us to love. It's up to us to show mercy and grace and acceptance and compassion. It's up to us to do that, because when we do that, what we do is we establish an environment where God can work. So if we are people of love that demonstrate grace and mercy and compassion and acceptance and forgiveness to one another, then we are creating a space for God to come and do those things that only God can do. That's why it's so important that we love one another. This idea of the church being identified by love comes straight from Jesus himself. We hear in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, as Jesus is preparing for the crucifixion that lies ahead, the brutality of the cross, he says this to those gathered with him, his disciples. He says, "A new command I give you, that you love one another." How? "Just as I have loved you." Think about that for a moment. Think about what was ahead, just hours away. He was going to lay down his life. He was going to be brutalized, submitted to horrific things. And he says, "I want you to love others the way that I love you. And I am willing," and we'll see this in the Word in just a moment, "I am willing to sacrifice for you." He says that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So what identifies us as followers of Christ? What is that one distinguishing mark that proves to the world that we are of Christ? Jesus said it very simply. It's how we love one another. Our identity as a church will be formed by how you love that person sitting next to you, that person sitting in front of you, that person sitting behind you, though you may barely know them at this point. But we will be identified by how you love. Lord, enlarge our hearts. Give us a greater capacity to love one another. As Jesus went about creating this new community that we know as the church, he says, "You're going to be a city on a hill, and everyone will see your good works and will give glory to our Father in heaven. And they will see how you love one another, and they will know that you are followers of me." The primary way that we're going to prove to the world who we are is how we love one another. Now, we're always, as Christians, we're always looking for a way to identify ourselves, it seems. There's t-shirts, there's lapel pins, there are bumper stickers, car decals. We went to a great deal of trouble to choose a name for this body because we wanted it to identify us. Now, all of those things are good. None of those things are bad. But we've got to understand that the primary way that we will be identified as believers, a group of gathered believers, is how we love one another. We'll either be known as a church of love, or we'll not be known that way. And it's up to us. It all depends on us. How we love the person in front of us, beside us, behind us. People that we don't even yet know, but we are committed to love them. And I pray that that love manifests itself in sacrificial living where everyone's needs are met. The early church understood this. The writers of our scriptures, inspired by the Holy Spirit, understood this. Listen to what the Word of God says concerning this matter of loving one another. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." Gosh, that just ain't natural. Now, that just ain't natural in this me first world. But the Word of God is so very clear. Honor one another above yourselves. In 2 John in verse 5, the apostle says, "And now I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Hebrews 13:1 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters." In 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly." Throughout the Word of God, we have the clear command to love one another. To love one another. Over and over again, the Scriptures echo what Jesus said, that we will be known by our love. This is how we'll be identified as followers of Christ. Don't stop loving one another. Grow in love towards one another. Demonstrate love. You know, love has got to be active. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Love has to be active. I can tell my wife over and over and over again, "I love you. Ooh, baby, I love you. I love you so much." On and on and on, I can tell her. But if I don't live it out, it's just hollow words. And those words can even begin to be resented. Right? Guys, you got to put some action to those words. We got to live it out. We got to demonstrate it. And that's the same in the body of Christ. How are you loving your brother and sister in Christ? Just ask yourself that honest question. How am I demonstrating love to the people of this church? If you're not, I encourage you to find a way to do it. Because that's what will identify us as followers of Christ Jesus. You know, the Scripture goes one step further than that. It says in 1 John, chapter 4, one of them has only one chapter, first or second. It says this, and this is a hard thing to hear. But you know, not all of Scripture is lovey-dovey, you know, ice and sugar. There's some harsh things in the Word of God. Some harsh, challenging words. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever has been born of God and knows God, anyone," hear this now, "anyone who does not love does not know God." Yikes. Anyone who does not love does not know God. For you see, when we know God, then His love is within us, and His love in us produces loving actions toward others. You know, I love 1 Corinthians 13, don't you? How many of you ever heard 1 Corinthians 13 at a wedding? Oh, yeah. You know what I love about that? Is that 1 Corinthians 13 is a word of correction. It's a word of correction to the church. You see, it comes between chapter 12 and chapter 14. And it's a word that Paul speaks against divisiveness. It's a word that he speaks against putting yourself before others and being contentious and there being division. What he says is this. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm just a noisemaker. I'm just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers," he talks about, if I have all of these gifts, prophetic powers, understand all mysteries, if I have all knowledge, if I have the faith to remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. I am nothing. He's saying without the love of God in our hearts, nothing else really matters. That love is just that important. He says, "If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I am nothing." And then he goes on into a description of love that we've all heard. And I want to ask you, if you would, to join with me this morning in just a time of self appraisal, a time of self-evaluation. And let's do it with this scripture. And let me lead you this way. For example, the word says love is kind. Ask yourself, am I kind? Am I kind? Simple kindness. Am I a kind person? Do I envy? Is there any envy in your life? Am I boastful? Love does not boast. Am I boastful? Am I proud? You see where I'm going with this. Am I proud? We're asking ourselves these questions. Asking ourselves if we are loving people per the description here in 1 Corinthians. Do I ever dishonor others? Do I ever seek my own way? Am I easily angered? Do I keep a record of wrongs? Do I always rejoice in the truth? Do I always protect? Do I always trust? Do I always hope? Do I always persevere? You see, those are the characteristics given here in this text for love. And it's a good way to measure our hearts. It's a good way to evaluate our lives. He's saying if we do not love, we're nothing. If we do not love, we're nothing. It's very clear in Scripture that loving one another is unmistakably central to the character of the church. It's our bedrock. It's our foundation. Yea, though we do this, and yea, though we do that, and yea, though we do this and that, if we have not love, we are nothing. That, brothers and sisters, is where we hang our hat. How we love one another. Jesus commands us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're asked to love as He loved. Wow. Wow. To love as He loved. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Hear this description of how Christ calls us to love and how He Himself loves us. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Writing to the church at Philippi, he says, have the same love of Christ Jesus. He says, make my joy complete, Paul says. Love like Jesus loved. Don't settle for less. Love like Christ Himself. And then he goes on and tells us the extent of Christ's love. We have to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus laid down His life for you and for me, willingly leaving the splendor and glory of heaven to come and walk upon this sinful earth, to do what no one else could do, to die in our place, to die for our sin. And He did so willingly, He did so lovingly, and He did it completely. Now we're called to love in the same fashion that He loved. Willingly, sacrificially, completely. I'd like to ask you this morning, right where you are, ask yourself if you can pray this simple prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in light of how I have been loved, would you please expand my heart? Would you please increase my capacity to love? If you can pray that prayer, and you can pray that prayer sincerely, and that is the desire of your heart, God will enlarge your heart and grow you in a capacity to love others. So mindful of how Christ Himself has loved us, let us be thankful that He did what only He could do. And mindful of the call that we have as Christians, followers of Christ, to love one another. Would you ask Him to make you a more loving person? Remember, we can never have too much. In fact, I want so much love that I got to give some away. You know, it's like having a good crop of tomatoes in your home garden. I just got to give some away. Fill me with your love, O Lord. It's a simple but profound request. Could you just bow your heads and if that's truly your desire, pray with me right now. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus, who gave His life for me, who willingly died to become a sacrifice, who willingly gave Himself for my sin that I might be forgiven, for that amazing love. Enlarge the capacity of my heart. Make me a more loving person, I pray. To receive something, we have to open our hands. You know, you can't receive something if you're ready to receive that work of the Holy Spirit in your life to become more loving. And just simply right where you are, it's just open. Open your hands as a symbol of your heart being open. Do this work in me, Lord. Only you, Lord, can make me more loving. And that's my desire. That's my desire. Now let's worship the Lord together for just a moment as we prepare to make our way to
So here, I want you to take the steps of obedience God has called you to today, starting today when you walk out. So the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord give you the strength that you need to do what He has called you to do in obedience. And I promise you, He will pour His favor and bless you this week. Amen? Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Go Falcons! Woo! See you guys later.